straight jack. I'ma take mine and I meant to say that. Got me on the run and no time to lay back. All I got is blues and bad news and bruising and music. It gets hard not to abuse it. I can only tolerate so much bullshit. I'm so through it, I'm not cool with it.
Blues and bad news and bruises. Bottom of the barrel with a bushy view. Then you wonder why niggas acting foolish. Every day another round of Russian roulette, Lord.
Man, you fuck ass niggas don't even know, man.
Good morning, good morning, good morning. It's Thursday, February 23rd. You're listening to Off the Beaten Path here on CITR 101.9, Vancouver's community radio station. We are broadcasting from the unceded and Coast Salish territory here from CITR Studios on UBC's campus. I'm your host, Issa Arian. And for the next hour, I'll be taking you down my path. If there's anything you'd like to call in and tell me, or tell the world, the number is 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. You know, I like to get started with a little bit of the forecast here on Thursday morning in the west coast of British Columbia. It's actually really, really good as really the weather is beginning to change from that really, really, really piss poor winter weather where it is perpetually raining or snowing or sleeting or ice or frozen rain or just absolute trash. Today will be a high of 6. It's still a little nippy with a cold, with a low of 0. This is in centigrade for my American listeners. Tomorrow, Saturday, will be high of 6 as well, but sunny. Saturday, Sunday, Monday, it'll reach up to 7. So if you have things to do this weekend, it's actually a pretty good weekend to be outside, I'm guessing during the daytime, because, like I said, it's still pretty cold while the sun is out. If this is your first time listening to Off the Beaten Path, I like to talk about things I care about, which is local news, some politics, some pop culture, some sports. Sometimes I have some interesting guests lined up from some comedians, artists, industry leaders, and just some really, really smart people. If you've been listening to the last few weeks, I've had my friend Mo on here. He left. But it gets lonely in here, so, you know, I just do my thing. I have an interview with the band, the Washington, D.C. band, Priest. And I had an interview with them last week because they're on their second North American tour with a new album called Nothing Feels Natural. And we'll get into that a little bit later. You know, I like to go right into the local Vancouver news. This is not news that I saw in Vancouver Sun, but I did see a tweet, which basically like news right now, you know, as we get our news through Twitter from our president. I think that from now on, we can say you don't really have to, maybe since like 2013, 2014, you don't really have to say that Twitter is not a news source. But I saw that the downtown East Side, I guess, had a wedding, and at the wedding, maybe they were serving crack at the reception. I'm not really sure how this works, and I don't really mean to make light of it, but there were 39 overdoses at the wedding because what they thought was crack was actually really fentanyl, which is really, really terrible. But what kind of wedding was this, you know? Like, what kind of wedding? I've been to lots of weddings. When I say lots, probably like 5 as an adult. I don't really count weddings I went to as a child because I didn't really know what the wedding was about. I knew the wedding was about love. I didn't know the wedding was really an excuse to have a party. But what kind of wedding is it where they serve crack at the reception? Like, I was really curious. Was this like a passing of a pipe around, or was this, did you get like a little gift bag with your small amount of crack cocaine in the bag? I'm not really sure how that works. I'm not really sure. But it's just really awful to hear that is continuing to happen, and we can't rectify, you know, the situation. It's almost, I mean, when you think about drug use and drug abuse, and you think about the people who are typically affected by fentanyl specifically, you know, it's here in BC, it's really the lower class, you know, poor, marginalized, down and out people. And like, they don't have anything, you know, there's nothing. And the drugs aren't even safe. And yet these people are still willing to, like, they know that the risks of fentanyl. I'm sure if you go down to the, backtracking, yesterday, CITR had a 24-hour marathon about homelessness and some of the ails in Vancouver and some of the issues. And drug addiction is something that they brought up. So if you'd like to listen to people with a little bit more expertise on the matter than I have, then you can look at some of the episodes from yesterday from Jonathan or from Madeline or anyone else who was on the radio yesterday. You can find a little bit more about the situation. But we know how homelessness and drug addiction really affects people, and they understand that the risk that they're taking whenever they want to get high, and these people are still willing to take the risk, even though that there's a high possibility and high chance that they will die as a result from it. And so I think that we as a people should really start to think about not only what drug addiction has done to people, but the idea that people, like, why would somebody be in a position so terrible that they would be willing to put their life on the line just to mentally escape it for a few minutes? You know, I really think that that's when it comes down to drug addiction, that's what you have to think about. It's like, wow, this crack or this heroin is worth my life because my life is so terrible. So when you think about homelessness, you know, think about it in that way. Those same residents are also really complaining because through gentrification, if you look at the Vancouver Sun today, they have an article where it's highlighted Erica Grant. She's really speaking at a news conference on Main Street about how the community is changing, and not only how the community is changing, but the people in the community are changing, moving in, and not really caring about the residents there. So one of the complaints here in Vancouver is that it's really hard to build a community, and I think that part of this is because people don't feel connected to anything. Like, people have no connection to where they live or the people in their neighborhood. I was saying the other day to a friend how I live in a house on the west side where there's families on either side of my house, and there's also people who live in both basement suites in either of those houses. And those families have kids who I see playing in the front yard, in the backyard, you know, while I'm reading outside and sitting on my steps or anything. And not once, I mean, I've been living there nearly a year and a half, and not one time has anybody come out and spoken to any of my roommates or me and introduced themselves or asked who we were or asked anything about us. And we're living right next door to them and their family and their kids. And I think that is unusual because in my neighborhood, for example, we have new neighbors moving next to my mom's house around 4 or 5 months ago. And first thing that my mom did was go over there and bring, I think she brought some wine or some cookies or some baked goods or something that she brought. But just to really to introduce herself, you know, introduce the neighborhood and get people more acquainted with your neighbors, and just to see what type of people are in the really physical proximity of you and your children. So, but in the downtown East Side and in Chinatown specifically, residents are really, really, who've been living there for a long time, and they have these communities and they have these relationships with each other and the people there. And when people move in from out of the community, it's not that they just move in to these really nice new apartments. It's that they move into these nice new apartments and they bring their old, terrible, awful attitudes with them, and the judginess or the change in the dynamic where things that have always been okay, maybe people hanging out or people just liking to be with their folks doing whatever they do, really can no longer feel comfortable. Or these people don't shop at their businesses, particularly in Chinatown. And what that can do to a community is it changes it, and it displaces residents who've been living there for a long time. And, like, I don't think that a Chinese restaurant should have to change maybe, like, their menu to be, like, Chinese-infused, you know, I don't know, vegan, non-vegan tofu, just so that the new residents feel a little comfortable. I don't know if you've heard yet, but there's a Trump Tower on West Georgia, and Eric and Donald Trump Jr. plan on being in Vancouver next week for the official opening of the Trump International Hotel. Now, there plans to be a protest there. While it's supposed to start on the 28th at 10 a.m., which is, I believe, next Monday. I don't know if you know, Dre's is supposed to open in the Trump Tower on Tuesday. Now, this is where I believe that you'll really see. Now, I think that is funny. So they're going to put a Dre's in Trump Tower on Tuesday. Well, there's already a Dre's, and they're going to open the Dre's up on Tuesday. And there's two things that I have realized in my 27 years of life, and that is that people pretend that they care a lot, and they try to act like they care a lot. I mean, I guess those are the two same things. So I guess I've really learned one thing in 27 years, is that people actually don't care. People like to party, and people like to make money. And everyone who's living in the Trump Tower right now has either got a lot of money or made a lot of money or plans on making a lot of money from their condo in the Trump Tower. And I don't know if you've ever been to Dre's, but it gets cracking in there. I'm not going to say that I'm gonna have a party in Dre's. I'm not even going to say that I'll attend a party in Dre's, because I can't even afford to go to the Equinox, let alone go to Dre's in the Trump Tower. But I'm sure there will be people in there who have previously talked mad trash about Trump. Yeah, they're going to be in there, you know, when the Migos gets to popping, they're going to be talking how they're bad and bougie, even though I don't really think that anybody in Canada really knows what bougie means. But they like the song. And I think they're really going to get, you know what I'm saying? They'll probably get it popping in there. So I like to see people put their money where their mouth is. And if you don't believe in, you know, what he speaks for, or if you do believe, or if you, and if you don't care, you know, go party. But if you do believe it, if you do believe that this is a really big issue, and it's always going to be an issue, and it's going to be an issue for the next 4 years, then I don't want to see you in there or hear about how much Dre's be cracking, or how much, you know, or how fun it is, or what, you know what I'm saying, what the girls looking like in there. I don't want to hear any of that. I don't want to hear it. But if you want to go to the protest, it starts at 10 a.m. actually, it's been moved to late afternoon and evening to coincide with the private celebrations that will be happening in the hotel. Like, it's crazy that the Trump Tower is just opening here in Vancouver, and Donald Trump has still not disclosed, you know. Let me backtrack. It's crazy that there's a Trump Tower opening in Vancouver, and Donald Trump's sons are going to be opening it, are going to be at the official opening, particularly because I remember reading a article, and we talked about this a little bit on the radio in a previous episode, about how the general manager of the Trump Hotel and condo just really said it, the Trump is a licensing name, and that it's not actually a Trump Hotel, which for me, if this isn't related to Trump or one of his actual hotels, and this isn't related to his business, it's just a name, then why is his sons coming to the opening? Now, I mean, I believe that the general manager is probably full of shit. I'm gonna just keep it 100. I think I said that in the episode, that there's no way that this isn't related to him. There was a minor earthquake off of the coast of Port Hardy, like in Port Hardy, off the coast of British Columbia. Apparently, it could be felt on the island and in some parts of Western Washington. Now, while I think that this is interesting, I don't really actually think it's that interesting. What I think is, I thought this was going to be the earthquake that they have been talking about for the past like 3 years, you know, the real big one, the one that in Cascadia, the one that's gonna break off British Columbia, Washington, Oregon, California, off of the tectonic plate that is on the other part of the other part of North America. Because I might be in a minority, but I think that BC, California, Oregon, Washington will be one pretty sick island. Like, imagine if that was just an island and that started to float into the middle of the Pacific. Those states, I mean, that would obviously turn into the best place to live, right? I mean, you've got the Sunshine Coast, you've got mountains and valleys and rivers, and then you'll have the ocean. It'll be an island, and you got legal marijuana in like every single one of those places, and it's got like the most beautiful women, and it's just sunshine, and you can go from skiing to golfing and mountain biking, sailing. You could sail around the whole thing. So maybe, hopefully, this earthquake is a precursor to that really big one. And I'm not saying that, and I understand how earthquakes work. I understand that there will be a lot of damage, and I understand that there will be a lot of issues particularly with people probably losing homes and lives. But if I were to survive it, I think that it would be pretty cool. Now, if you like to debate me, because I'm looking for someone to tell me that it'll be terrible, you can call in at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. When we come back, we will be talking about these new planets NASA found, and I'm going to tell you why I think that it is bull crap. Stay with us.
Mark Wednesday, March 1st in your calendar and get over to the UBC Nest for the Graduate School Fair. Or do you want to study, work, or volunteer abroad? Get down to the Vancouver Convention Center on Thursday, March 2nd to visit the Study and Go Abroad Fair. Both events are free. Check online at studyandgoabroad.com for more info.
Now, when you were starting out as a writer, you were black, impoverished, homosexual. You must have said to yourself, gee, how disadvantaged can I get?
Well, no, I thought I hit the jackpot.
Oh, great.
It was so outrageous, you could not go any further, you know. You had to find a way to use it.
Curated by Barbara Chirinos in partnership with Viff Van City Theater, the annual Black History Month film series shines a spotlight on African North American film and history. This year's program encompasses music, political protest, spiritual, emotional, enterprise, and endeavor. The centerpiece of Black History Month at Van City Theater is the exclusive Vancouver premiere of the Academy Award-nominated documentary I Am Not Your Negro, screening from February 24th. Other highlights include Julie Dash's seminal Daughters of the Dust, the music films Molly Blues and Sign of the Times, and a new Canadian documentary about the untold history of black hockey players, Soul on Ice.
Lincoln Alexander was a black Canadian who achieved much in politics. The child of Jamaican immigrants, he served in the Royal Canadian Air Force during World War II. He graduated from the Osgoode Hall Law School in 1953 and practiced at a number of firms for more than a decade. In 1968, he ran in Canada's federal election in the Hamilton West Electoral District. He won and became Canada's first black member of parliament. He served four consecutive terms before stepping down in 1980. In 1985, he was appointed Lieutenant Governor of Ontario, becoming the first black Canadian to hold a vice-regal position. Alexander passed away on October 19, 2012. In December 2013, Lincoln Alexander Day was made a law in Ontario and is held on January 21st. His wife, Marnie Beale Alexander, is currently working to make it a national holiday for Canada. This has been a Black History Month PSA brought to you by CITR.
Stay fed, my dogs. Troop, troop. I'm out to lunch every Sunday. The entire world, I make my runway. High fashion, so stone. And maybe someday, my passion will own more than horseplay. Counting stacks like my name was Andre. But made a nom joker is my forte. My cup of tea, child, the cup don't fuck with me. I was spitting the truth, so I brought my feelings got all chucked up. So I threw in a cup and then I gotta mix it up for that tipsy ass blend that got you sipping till the end. You know you girls go get up. My mama always bought in bulk. That Costco Kirkland shit that charged the battery switch. Once you plug in, the energy feeds and forgets. The power horse, a pretty girl. I rap the north, a little squirrel, a vital horse. Oh yeah, the girl, just like the neck, just like your ass. Everybody get this feeling when they party, when they wheeling. Everybody get this feeling when they party, when they wheeling. Just like who's next? Sex lunch. Just like who's next? Stay fed. Just like who's next? Sex lunch. Just like who's next? Stay fed.
I'ma fight you in the dungeon when a nightlife for this life right when I take a bite. Mike Tyson and Bison, Monty Python, I'm a cobra. Let me show you how we eat the okra. You a bindi, never with me. I do Jimmy, come on over. Super freak, give it to me, baby, baby. Super freak, give it to me, baby. Baby, baby.
What you know about digging and the lost and found? How about you spit it out? Screaming nice and loud. I'm a camel. I'm a rabbit. When you label, it's a habit. I'm a geek from the chest.
You fucking nerd.
My heart is big, it's the best. Peace the fucker.
Y'all niggas got me hot. Yeah.
You're back with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, Issa Arian. This is 101.9 CITR. If you'd like to call in, it's 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. Now, you might have heard an ad over the break talking about the Vancouver International Film Festival, and you heard James Baldwin's voice. I would like to reiterate that the 27th, the second to last day of Black History Month, will be a showing of, well, it's the first of like 15 showings of I'm Not Your Negro, the documentary centered around James Baldwin. And I've heard nothing but good things, so you should check it out. When I mean I've heard nothing but good things, I heard that it will make you furious, but informed. And sometimes that's exactly what we need so that we can propel us into something better, because this can't be it. And something better is exactly what NASA is looking for. I don't know if you've heard the news. I have. Astronomers discovered seven Earth-sized planets orbiting a star nearby. When they say nearby, they're talking about those planets, because it sure as hell isn't nearby anything in the Milky Way, which is the galaxy that we live in, if you haven't heard. So, I mean, you can find this really on any news outlet. It's the new hotness that everyone is talking about. Astronomers have found at least seven Earth-sized planets orbiting the same star 40 light-years away, according to a study published on Wednesday. It says that the findings also were announced at a news conference at NASA headquarters. The discovery outside of our solar system is rare because the planets have the winning combination of being similar in size to Earth and being all temperate, meaning they could all have water on their surfaces and potentially support life. This is the first time so many planets of this kind are found around the same star, 39 light years away. Oh, God. All right. I think that this is a hoax. Now, I don't think this is a hoax in the sense that, there's not extraterrestrials or that there's not life on other planets, because that would be silly to say that, you know, that we are potentially the only life forms that can live in space, because our Earth is suspended in space. But one, I'm not an astronomer, but I do like science. I don't know why we think that there has to be water to be life forms. Like, maybe there has to be water to have life forms like ours. But if a life form is not like ours, then it doesn't mean that it's not life. Maybe that's a little too philosophical for 7:30 in the morning, but that's what I think. And then I think it's real, real, real suspicious that, you know, President Donald Trump is talking about all of these cuts, all of these budget cuts everywhere. They want to cut funding to women. They want to cut funding to social services. They want to cut it all. Donald Trump says we have to do more with less. We can't live luxury lifestyles anymore. America's off that narcotic. No more luxury lifestyles, except for Donald Trump. He builds luxury condos. Everybody else, austerity. You must spend less than your income so that we can bring this deficit down. And NASA's like, NASA director, I feel this is how the conversation went. I think the NASA director was at a meeting with some of his top homies. He was like, yo, Donald Trump is going to cut our funding unless we figure something out. They were like, I got it. New planets, son. New planets. So they found. So they went and found some new planets. They're like, how far should we make them away? They're like, yo, make it so we'll never, ever, ever figure them. We'll never get there. We'll never get there. 39 light years. 39 light years. You know what 39 light years means? That means if you were traveling at the speed of a light, it would take you 39 years. Like if you flip a switch, flick, that light takes 39 years to get to these planets. Now, for me, that means never. Like, we'll never get there. We can barely get to the moon. And I can see the moon with my own eyes. We can see other planets with our own eyes. Can't get there either. But they want me to reasonably believe that there are seven planets, three of them which possibly have some type of life that they can see from a goddamn telescope. I don't know. I just don't believe it. Why? Also, why is it always NASA that's finding this stuff? Don't other countries invest in telescopes? I feel like every country's got a telescope. I feel like all the other countries are probably looking for science funding just like us. They didn't find these planets. They haven't found any other planets. It's not like I've heard of, scientists in Ecuador has found a new solar system. No, no one's ever told me that. It's only NASA. I don't know. I think that they heard with the recent, I don't know if you know who Kyrie Irving is. Kyrie Irving is the point guard for the Cleveland Cavaliers. He's also Australian, so we can't claim him. But he's part of this recent rebirth of the Flat Earth Society. Now, if you haven't heard of the Flat Earth Society is people, or Flat Earth Society is a group of people who believe that the Earth is really flat. And now, not like, I don't know about really flat, but it's like got some type of curvature to it, and it's almost, and it sits on a disc. Now, I made my mom watch like 4 hours of documentaries on it because I just couldn't believe that people would actually believe this. And my friend O'Dane, he's like, listen, man, the Earth's flat. The Earth's flat, dog. You got to watch this documentary on YouTube. So I was bored at home one day, and me and my mom were looking for something to watch and said, hey, Ma, let's check it out. So so we watched it. I thought it was I was entertained. Do I think the Earth is flat? No. But I was entertained. But there's been a recent rebirth in the Flat Earth Society, and I think that NASA directors were pretty fearful that Donald Trump, who watches a lot of TV, watches a lot of YouTube, probably saw this in his history, or maybe they heard about, you know, he was thinking about checking it out. And they were like, oh, man, we got to come up with something before he thinks the Earth is flat and he cuts off funding. So if you'd like to spend like your life and your kid's life and your kid's kid's life and your kid's 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 life and your kid's 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 life on a spacecraft, which is headed in the general direction of these planets, like the Starship Enterprise, then you can. Or if you have some more information about some of these planets and you'd like to tell me why I'm so wrong and why you just don't know, man. These telescopes, they're real. They're showing us aliens and all of that. If you want to call in, you can call in and debate me at 604-822-CITR. That's 604-822-2487. I really like to know from somebody a little more knowledgeable than me about these types of things. Because I really can't get behind, nor do I think that it really matters. We don't know what's at the bottom of the earth. I mean, what's at the bottom of the oceans. Yet, we're looking for stars 39 light years away. I think it's like 264 trillion miles away. Something crazy. Like, we can't figure out how to get clean water to people, but we're looking for stars. I don't know. None of it really makes sense to me. I mean, what's wrong with this one? What's wrong with this place? I feel like this Earth is perfect. It's been here for billions of years. And it supports tens of thousands of different life forms on it. And it would probably have more if it had one less. See, I don't know if you guys caught that. Or maybe you did catch it. You can rewind it back if you want to, you know, think a little deeper. It would have more if it had one less. I just made that up. So I think I'm going to coin that. Matter of fact, somebody write that down and then tweet it at me. Now, getting into some more Donald Trump, I actually wanted to keep this episode really light. I talked about it with some friends because it always seems that every morning, it was like a reality TV show, every morning you check your phone and you're like, what the hell did this dude do now? Like, what is he talking about? Like, who is he talking to? Like, it's crazy. This is crazy. But yet you hear about these town hall groups, specifically one in North Carolina, and this meeting is talking about how they're scared of Muslims all over the whole state, and, you know, why can't we just kill them? If you want to check out this article, it's on The Guardian, and it's called Islamophobia Grows Louder in North Carolina. Can we not kill them all? People are talking about killing Muslims, and you're just like, what the hell is this? Like, this is crazy, especially because people in North Carolina, like, one, what does a Muslim look like? That doesn't make any sense. There's Arab Jews, there's Arab Christians, there's Arab Muslims, there's black Jews, black Muslims, black Christians, there's white Jews. I haven't really met too many white Muslims, but I'm sure that they exist. Matter of fact, I'm 100% certain that they exist. So, like, what does it mean when you want to kill people who believe in Islam? What? I mean, it doesn't make any sense. And then you have Donald Trump, who we were always certain that he does things for spectacle. Like, it's about the spectacle. Like, his administration is about signing these executive orders and rolling back all of these things that Obama has done for the spectacle. Like, it's just for people to think about and say, like, yeah, or be like, that's terrible, we need a protest. You know, it's not actually policy that's supposed to better or make worse our country. Now, yesterday, Donald Trump rolled back some of the protections that some transgender young people have had. This is a tweet from Jeffrey Marsh, because he wanted people to know that before you really get into what Donald Trump is doing, this is what Obama had done previously. Former President Barack Obama instructed public schools that they must allow transgender students to use bathrooms and locker rooms that align with the child's chosen gender identity. The guidance was issued as an interpretation of Title IX, which prohibits sex discrimination in public education. Now, not the child's choice of gender identity, the child's chosen gender identity. Like, you as a 12, 13, 14-year-old don't get to choose. However, if maybe a doctor or a psychiatrist or, you know, someone that you go to for help has chosen, you know, someone you've talked to has helped, like, really understand, you know, what's going on with you, and, you know, has chosen a gender identity that helps fit with you and how you feel. And then Trump, in all of his, you know, bravado, has signed an executive order that rescinds Obama's transgender student protections. Now, for me, it's crazy. It's crazy. It's crazy. Because, like, why are we so obsessed with the bathroom? Like, it's nuts. Transgender people have been using whichever bathroom that they have felt fit for decades or centuries or however long. I'm not really in that community. And I don't know how long that people have been you know, feeling this way. But people have been using whichever bathroom they feel comfortable with for a long time. In other countries, it's completely normal for men and women to share a bathroom or the bathroom to be in the same place. What is the obsession with the bathroom in America? I don't understand. Especially when it comes to transgender people, because there's not one report of a transgender person or someone who's dressed up as a woman pretending to, you know, going into a woman's bathroom and assaulting people. It is cisgendered people who not only assault, but they murder transgender people on a daily basis. Like, what you're actually doing is you're putting people at risk instead of taking them away from risk. Like, I don't know how to say this dude Milo's last name, but Milo, he's a previous Breitbart writer. He just recently resigned. And he has really been a spokesperson for the alt-right and the conservative movement. They really held him up. He's really on the fringe. He's really on the fringe. But what that means is that they can't really accept him into the group because he talks crazy. You know what I mean? He really talks crazy. But he's been extended talks at conservative unions, at schools, at universities around the states, and he recently has had lots of backlash for his comments on child abuse, which is really, it's a good place to start, I guess, for the conservative to be in disagreement. But like, this guy has said so many more inflammatory things. We talked about it on a previous episode. I don't really want to give him too much airtime, but he, I guess in a podcast or a internet live stream, he was talking about how a relationship between younger boys and older men can really help young boys who are coming out, you know, and he even talks about his relationship with a Catholic priest as a teenager. And it's just in a time when the conservative movement is so concerned about about transgender people in bathrooms, when one of their own spokespeople comes out in support of pedophilia, and this is cisgendered pedophilia. And if you don't know what cisgendered by now means, it means the gender that you are born with. You know, with the genitalia that you're born with, if you identify with that gender, then you're cisgendered. So, like, you know, I have a dick, so I'm a man. And so I like, think I'm a man. Like, I am a man. I think. But that's pretty much how it goes. And then, so, like, when you, this is someone that you've been supporting for months, you know, he was a senior editor at Breitbart. Like, he rose. He had this meteoric rise, and this is definitely not the first crazy thing that he said, which is crazy, because the things that I thought would have been the line weren't. So when I saw the comments that he made, I thought that maybe he might maybe get a pass, but it just seems kind of silly that when people are talking about their own safety and how they feel comfortable, and nobody is complaining. The only people who are complaining about this are dudes, I guess, who really like seeing dudes dressed up like women in the bathroom with them, and they have to feel this to be comfortable. Or maybe that these transgender people are leaving the men's bathroom, and they feel as if, you know, they're losing their opportunities to, you know, to maybe get their sneak down low locker room, bathroom conversation talk on. I don't know what kind of creepiness it is, but it's weird. It's really weird. It needs to stop. Now, when we get back, we'll be talking a little bit about some things that I sometimes feel that PC culture has gone a little too far. And people are very selective with what offends them. Now, stay tuned because you won't want to miss it.
see here. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody. God, this is awful.
Well, I climbed up the mountain, climbed back down again for you. I climbed up the mountain again for you, and then I climbed back down, climbed up.
Isn't there anything, 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 anything?
Listening to the radio these days can be distressing. Fortunately, here at CITR, our programmers choose the music that they play, so our charts reflect what people actually listen to. To find out what's really topping the charts, pick up a copy of Discorder magazine, or check us out online at citr.ca. Unless, of course, you'd rather keep listening to the chart-topping single, Everybody Dance.
What, you don't like to dance? Everybody dance. Everybody dance. Everybody dance, dance. What, you don't like to dance?
UBC's Museum of Anthropology displays long-term and visiting exhibits of Indigenous art from around the world, and guided tours are free. Our permanent collection features one of the world's finest exhibits of Northwest Coast First Nations art. Our collection includes 36,000 ethnographic pieces, 535,000 archaeological pieces, and over 600 pieces in the Kroner Ceramics Gallery. There's a lot to take in. Luckily, at the Museum of Anthropology, final exams are always take-home. If you've never checked out this world-class facility, now's your chance. The Museum of Anthropology is located right on campus and free for all UBC students and faculty. Come enjoy our collection and resources.
You're off the beat. You're here with Off the Beaten Path. I'm your host, East Arian. You're on 101.9 CITR, Vancouver's community radio station. If you'd like to call in, 604-822-2487 and 604-822-CITR, and tell me why you think that I am stupid for not caring about these planets. Please, 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 please call in and tell me. I can't wait. Can't wait for somebody to argue with that, because if you call in and listen to community radio at 7 a.m., I got bad news for you, buddy. You're never making it. You're never making it to those planets. But sometimes I think that, like I was talking before the break, sometimes I think that PC culture can go a little too far. I had a conversation with Alex Biron, a local comedian here and Simon, his ex-co radio host here at CITR. They used to have a show, and we were just talking about how some people are really selective with some of the things that they care about. Like, he had a joke about, you'll have to listen to the interview, which will be airing next week, but basically how people can be offended by one thing and one marginalized group being made fun of, but other groups not being, but other groups it not being funny. Like, you can make fun of, you can have a joke. I mean, if you go to any open mic night, you hear really bad jokes about black people, particularly here in Vancouver, where it's weird because, like, you know that the comedian doesn't have any black friends. Or you'll hear, but if you make a joke about First Nations people, it's not funny. Black jokes, funny. Asian jokes, hilarious. First Nation jokes, not funny. You say anything about white people, not funny. But I think that it's important to note that sometimes they go too far. Like, I saw a recent article on Complex Magazine, and it was about The Walking Dead and how the show, I don't know if you know about The Walking Dead, it's about zombies, and one of the newest villains is a character named Negan, and he carries a bat with barbed wire, and he beats people's heads in. Literally, on TV, like, you see people's eyes pop out, and people are getting stabbed all over the show. It's just on regular cable television. Like, so many things to be offended with in that show. And there was this woman who was mortified by this shirt, I guess, that this company is selling that says Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. And it's got the baseball bat with that Negan uses for as his weapon of choice. And what she said she was horrified by was the fact that Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe is a nursery rhyme that the second verse is catch a N-word by the toe, if he hollers, let him go, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. And while I knew the history of the nursery rhyme, I think that it is from, I read up on it, and it's got some various origins, but most of them are from the 19th century and from the UK, and some, and in the South. And, like, if you've ever been on the playground ever, circa, probably 19, I don't know, when I was growing up, we used to say, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe, catch a tiger by the toe. Now, no one ever was like, hey, buddy, you should probably stop saying that. Say bubblegum in the dish. Because we used them all. Like, as a kid, you're not thinking about it like that. But this woman was so horrified that I think it's pretty important to note that this woman is not, like, this woman isn't someone who'd be classically labeled an N-word, So, maybe with that idea in your head, you can imagine what this woman looks like. Nobody would look at her and be like, hey, there goes an N-word. But she was so horrified that she called in and said that the shirt needs to be taken down. And I thought it was interesting because, like, it just comes from a line in the show. Like, Negan says, Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe. Then he takes the bat and he makes someone's head literally explode. So, like, you're not offended by the extreme graphic violence of the show, but offended by this T-shirt. I don't know. I think that, like, there's so many other things to be mad at. Like, direct your energy and anger to something else. Like, I don't care about the T-shirt. I bet you could ask anybody. Nobody would look at that T-shirt and be like, oh, man, like, that 19th century nursery rhyme, it's really, I've been triggered by it. I don't think there's anybody. I mean, and if you are, you can call in and you can tell me why I'm wrong again. But I'm right, to me. And that's really all that matters because this is my show. But I think that there's so many other things to be mad at. Like, if you were mad at Eeny, Meeny, Miny, Moe being on a T-shirt, are you mad when people sing Amazing Grace? Because if you don't know the history of Amazing Grace, it was written by a man who was in a terrible, he was the captain of a slave ship, and he's in a terrible storm. And he thinks he's going to die. So he writes Amazing Grace as he was saved, you know, saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. And then he sailed that slave ship right in the port, and he sold all of those slaves after God saved his life. And if you're not offended by that, like, are you offended by that song, This Land Is Your Land and This Land Is Our Land, from California to the something islands? You know, that song, you know the song I'm talking about. Because that song was written as Western expansion, as we proceeded to, as early settlers in the United States proceeded to kill over 100 million native indigenous people to this land. And while singing, This Land Is Your Land and This Land Is My Land, while proceeding to take all of the land and then selling it off. Not even selling it off. A lot of the land was given away. It was given to people as they were immigrating here illegally without the proper paperwork. And you don't get offended by that song, but you get offended by a damn t-shirt. Come on, man. Come on. It's got to be a better way than this. Now, I think that it's important that we always end on a positive note. Now, if you listen to me at 7 a.m. here on Off the Beaten Path, you like to know I end like to end on a positive note. And there's some news from Jay Electronica. Now, if you don't know who Jay Electronica is, you need to go look it up. He's like the most known, unknown rapper. Doesn't have an album. He's 40 years old. But he's like a god when it comes to the pen. If you don't, my favorite Jay Electronica song is Better In Tune With The Infinite. It's just got so much. So you can just go check it out. Better In Tune With The Infinite, Jay Electronica. You can actually only get it on YouTube. So, you know, don't really try anywhere else. But we've been waiting for his album release for like 20 years. Now, I've only heard of like Jay Electronica for like 5, but I feel like I've been waiting for 20 years. And every year it's like, oh, the album's coming out. Well, Jay Electronica says that he doesn't believe in albums. He thinks albums is an outdated concept by labels to try to make money, you know, by record labels. It's all about making money. See, Jay Electronica's so smart. Listen, he understands the game, bro. He understands. He doesn't need an album. But I hope he released some new music soon. So, I mean, I guess the positive note is that Jay Electronica, you know, he just hipped you to some game. I feel like when he speaks, you know, you got to listen. I don't even know why. But you have to. It's like you just get this pull from him. But he believes that people have been making music for centuries, trillions of years, and telling stories. And he doesn't really need it. He doesn't really feel like he needs an album. Like, he could just continue to make music and listen, and I'll continue to listen, and, you know, his fan base will continue to grow because it's like that. Like, the dude has 3 tweets. Every time he tweets something, he deletes one. That's next level. Like, that's next level. Like, that's crazy. You know what I mean? Like, we don't even think like that. We don't even think the same, but we do think the same. So I can't wait. Jay Electronica, if you're listening, you can call into the show. We'll get you on here one day. It'd be great. So that's my time. Really, thank you for tuning in to Off the Beaten Path this week. We're here every week, Thursday mornings from 7 to 8 here on CITR 101.9. I'm your host, Issa Arian. Thank you to all the listeners. Tune in on Tuesdays to Crimes and Treasons from 9 to 11 if you want to hear Vancouver hip-hop, you want to hear new hip-hop, you really want to hear... You know, what's hot in the streets, like what is on the ones and twos. We got Relly Rels. We'll have DJ Homeboy Jules. Check us out every Tuesday. Hope you guys enjoy your weekend. Stay out of the cold and stay in the sun.
Go to the lake. sorry ways bring back the love they wish would stay. A smooth and silent hymn is lost with their wings, the one they'll constantly be craving when they're alone or in need. Be craving when they're alone or in need.